Blog Talk Radio.
This is Scott Middleton, host of I Love 80s Wrestling Podcast. When I want to listen to a podcast, I listen to Debashi's Radio Takedown. He talks about sports and entertainment. So go do what I do. Listen to Debashi's Radio Takedown. You can find it here on Blog Talk Radio or iTunes.
Welcome to I Love 80s Wrestling Podcast. I'm your host, Scott Middleton, and today's episode is Remembering the Road Warriors Part 2. And for the next 30 minutes, we'll be taking calls and email, and the Road Warriors fans will be telling us their memories and opinions of what they thought of the Road Warriors. The number to call is 646-668-8873. Or you can send us your emails at ilove80swrestling@gmail.com. And we got our co-host back for today, and that's Nick. Hey, Nick.
Thank you. Good to be back.
Thank you for being with us. Now, I want to just give a little rundown what we talked about yesterday. We talked about the Road Warriors, their AWA stance, their Japan, and the NWA, and just talked about what the difference they made in wrestling throughout those companies and how much they changed the tag teams. Now, we want to talk about the AWA, their little AWA run again. And not only did they wrestle for the AWA, but they also went down to Memphis as wrestling for the AWA, and they had a big feud with Jerry Lawler and Austin Idol. Do you remember any of that, Nick?
Not much of it. I've seen a little bit of footage from it. What little you've been able to, we've been able to find on YouTube over the years. But from what I've seen, the matches were pretty good. They weren't anything special, you know, because it's Memphis wrestling after all. But the matches that in the clips I saw were actually pretty good and pretty watchable.
Oh yeah, definitely. You know, you had Jerry Lawler and Austin Idol, two big stars in Memphis, and then you had these two big, huge muscle guys coming down there trying to beat them up. And like you said, it was a really great match. And also their feud with the Fabulous Ones were a pretty good, like you said yesterday, pretty good mixture. You know, they had, you know, chemistry there. But also with their NWA, one that me and Nick talked about this after the show, the one that we've got to talk about, and that was the feud with the Midnight Express at Starrcade 86, the scaffold match, the Night of the Skywalkers. What do you remember of that, Nick?
Well, I mean, it was a pretty big main event back then, you know, to have a tag team match as the, you know, main draw for your big card. That was pretty monumental. And both teams, they pulled it off. They got people interested in that match. They flocked to see that match. And, you know, it was a dangerous and brutal match. It drew, obviously, and was a big success. But to me, the most entertaining part about it was, like, the backstory. You know, hearing that Hawk wrestled that match with a broken leg. I mean, you got to be one crazy SOB to climb up a scaffold like that. And alone with a broken leg, let alone wrestle.
Oh, yeah. And, with that one, Road Warrior Hawk broke his ankle, his foot or his ankle, whatever part it was, I think like a week or two before that over in Japan. So he had to come back and do the show on that broken ankle or foot, whichever one, I forget exactly which one, but yeah, it takes some guts to do that. And if any of you ever go to YouTube, which I know you guys do, go look up the promo for that match of the Road Warriors. They do an outside promo where they climb on the scaffold and they've got these pumpkins and it's got Beautiful Bobby's name on it and Loverboy Dennis's name, and they throw them over. Do you ever remember watching that one, Nick?
Yeah, the first time I saw that promo was on the Road Warriors DVD that WWE put out. And it's just a hilarious promo, you know? Of all the things you could do for a promo, to have them up on a scaffold tossing pumpkins to the ground. But yet it worked, you know? It got people really wanting to see that match. They wanted to see the Midnight Express fall off the scaffold. So the promo was very effective.
Yeah, and also, if I remember correctly, on that night, on that scaffold, Jim Cornette went up on the scaffold, and if you've heard Jim Cornette talk or anything, he is scared to death of heights. And
Jim Cornette has told this story many times, that he, you know, deathly afraid of heights. Greatest, it's the biggest injury he ever suffered in the business. But he's also said it's also one of his proudest moments in wrestling, because he was on the big main event, managing, you know, a Starcade main event. And he got to be in the spotlight like that. Of course, you know, he wasn't supposed to fall and get hurt, but that was on Ray Traylor for not catching him.
Yeah, and going on a little bit more with the NWA, then they got into a feud, like we talked yesterday, with the Powers of Pain. And to me, like I said yesterday, that they just didn't click. You know, it limited the Road Warriors what they could do, and it just didn't work. And then I was reading a little bit that why the Powers of Pain left is because they found out that they were going to be in a bunch of scaffold matches against the Road Warriors, ended up being on the losing end, so they just left. So what do you think of that whole situation, Nick?
Yeah, I've heard that story too from a couple different people, but I kind of wouldn't have blamed them. I wouldn't have wanted to do a scaffold match either, no matter who it was against. I mean, the chances of injury are just too great. Anything can happen up there. You can die, you know, you could fall, land wrong, and die. So, yeah, I kind of don't blame them. If that was the reason why they left, I don't blame them one bit.
We got another caller here. It's from area code 727. If you want to tell us your name and where you're from, and give us your memories of the Road Warriors.
Hi, this is Kyle. This is Kyle. I'm calling from Tampa, Florida.
Okay. What's your memories of the Road Warriors?
Well, I remember them obviously being a lot different than all the other teams back there, but I actually had a chance to meet Michael Hegstrand in Chicago. He worked out at a gym that my father did when I was a kid, called World's Gym up in Chicago, and I got a chance to meet him one afternoon.
That's really interesting. What would you say was your favorite Road Warrior match?
I would have to say I liked the whole Road Warriors 2000 when they came out and they had the draw. They had newer guys. They added another guy, and they were wearing the hockey helmets. It's a part of their history that a lot of people don't remember, but I kind of liked that era of the Road Warriors the best. A lot of the stuff that happened before then, I was too young.
Okay. What do you think their impact on tag team wrestling was?
I think that they changed it. They were definitely a lot different than most of the teams that were out there. A lot of the guys were smaller and flew around the ring, and they were a larger team, which we had never seen before. I do remember when I had a chance to meet Michael, how that all went down, and I just kind of wanted to share that.
Well, thanks for calling in and sharing, and I hope you'll call in again
Get a chance to, I didn't get a chance to tell you what happened at the gym.
Go ahead.
Well, my father introduced me to him. My father had managed a lot of different properties, and World's Gym was in one of the properties. So I got a chance to meet Michael, and I'd watched the Road Warriors as a kid, and this is pre-WWF or WWE now, and he just seemed like a giant. He was larger than life, and he wasn't wearing the makeup but had the haircut, as we remember.
Yeah.
So my father said that I could get an autograph, and I walked up to him and a group of guys, they were bouncers at bars at the time, were all going into the back of the locker room, and I got a chance once he was alone to get his autograph. And after he signed the autograph and handed it to me, I told him thank you, and I went to left and leave, and he took his towel off and sodomized me. He stuck his penis in my asshole. and came all over my back.
Okay, sorry about that, folks. And you know, I just
wow.
Yeah. Okay. Like I said, sorry about that, folks. Didn't mean for that to happen. And you know, but
though it was funny.
Yeah, it wasn't. You know, that just okay. But anyway, you know, the Road Warriors were just, you know, they changed the landscape of tag team wrestling. And there's not much more to add than that they changed it. They had great matches and great feuds with a bunch of different tag teams. Like, the one real good feud that I thought it was back in Georgia. It was probably before your time, Nick, but it was against King Kong Bundy and the Masked Superstar. It was a real short feud, but what did you see any of that feud?
I haven't seen any of that footage, but I've heard Laurinaitis talk about that feud in a couple shoot interviews, and that the feud was supposed to go on a lot longer, but King Kong Bundy supposedly went and whined a bitch to Ole Anderson about it and made them cut the feud short. That's supposedly what happened.
Yeah, and because I remember a promo that it had the Masked Superstar kind of in the shadow saying that they won the tag team titles, and then, you know, they got jumped, and then the titles were vacant, and then they had a very little tournament, and the Road Warriors came out as tag team champions again. But another feud that I want to talk about, and, you know, we talk about the 80s wrestling, a little bit about the 70s, and very little bit about the 90s, but the one feud that I thought was a major disappointment, which it could have been so much more, and that was the feud with Demolition. What do you think, Nick?
Yeah, I think definitely more could have been done with that feud. I mean, I've enjoyed what I've seen of that feud, you know, on the WWE Network and whatnot, that the matches were pretty decent. That's, you know, the six-man tags where they teamed them with the Ultimate Warrior. But that feud could have gone on for so much longer. It should have. But for whatever reason, Vince just didn't see it going that long, which is a mistake in my opinion.
Yeah, and also on top of it, at that time, Crush was part of Demolition, and before that, I think it was Axe that ended up having a mild stroke or a mild heart attack, and he had
some sort of medical problem that came from eating shellfish, I believe.
And
that forced him to take time off.
And so that kind of ruined that whole thing, because I think everybody wanted to see Axe and Smash versus the Road Warriors, and that just didn't happen at that time, and it hurt that feud, and, you know, but, and anyway, you know, they had so many other great feuds in the 80s, like, they even wrestled against, they were an underrated tag team, and it was Rick Rude and Manny Fernandez. They had, I think three or four matches with them, and to me, that feud could have went on a little bit longer, but for some reason it didn't. Have you seen any of that footage?
Yes, I have seen one of those matches, and it was phenomenal. I'm a big fan of Rick Rude in general, but, you know, those matches, again, you talk about chemistry. Those two teams had great chemistry together. From what I've heard, though, Manny and Rick Rude didn't get along very well. That's why that team didn't last as long as it could have. But the matches they had with the Road Warriors were pretty damn good and pretty entertaining.
Oh, yeah, definitely. And then, you know, like, I'm already wanting to talk about the Road Warriors promos that they did. I mean, their promos were over the edge. I mean, shouting, yelling a lot of the time. And that's what worked for them. And they always got their point across. And then whenever they were going to all sum it up, they left it to Paul Ellering, and Paul Ellering always summed it up. What did you think of the Road Warriors promos, Nick?
I love their promos. My favorite part would be when Hawk would get to speak, because he would always say, almost always say something hilarious. You know, one of my favorite ones was, this is going into the 90s, but he finished a promo with the, "Ugh, what a booger." And stuff like that he would just throw out there would just make me laugh, or "what a brush" he did in the barbershop. There was one where he said, maybe a few bricks shy of a full load, but I've got just enough bricks to something. I can't remember the rest of the thing.
Yeah.
But and, Hawk was just, he was hilarious during those promos.
Oh, yeah. And also, another tagline that they always used a lot was, "You snack on danger, dine on death." And it just fit them perfectly. You know, they were kind of like the future, you know, like how the Road Warrior movie was, you know, they were the big, strong, tough guys that always beat the heck out of everybody. And I think they'll go down in history as being one of the greatest tag teams. You know, like I said, I'm not a real big Road Warriors fan, but I'm they're within my top five, top 10 tag teams of all time. So I think they changed the landscape, which was good. Like we talked about that yesterday, I thought more of it. It was good that they changed it, but then it kind of sealed the fate of teams like the Rock and Roll Express and the Midnight Express and the smaller teams, which, like we talked about yesterday, their time had passed. So, you know, it was a good time to be a wrestling fan back in the 80s. What do you think of the Road Warriors, besides, you know, that they're your favorite teams? Do you think they should have been even bigger stars than what they were? Or
I don't know about bigger, because could they have gotten much bigger? I mean, they're probably the most celebrated tag team in history. I mean, they won pretty much every championship you could win. I think the only title they didn't hold the ECW titles. You know, I think that's probably the only title they didn't hold. I mean, they drew everywhere they went. They were successful everywhere they went. I don't know that they could have gotten any bigger than they did.
Yeah, because, like you said, they held every title that was possible. And if fans will go on YouTube and just check out the Road Warriors, if you've never seen them, check them out. They're really, I mean, they're over-the-top wrestlers. Their promos are over-the-top. And also another match that I don't know if you've seen, Nick, but it was from, I believe, Battle of the Belts 2. They took on, the Road Warriors took on Harley Race and Stan Hansen, and that match was, you know, it was phenomenal, you know. Have you seen that match at all?
Oh, yeah. You know, four of the toughest guys ever in the business just beating the living hell out of each other. I mean, if you love just good old brawling and ass-kicking wrestling, those matches you need to check out. They wrestled each other more than once, but the one at Battle for the Belts, too, I mean, that's a hidden gem in wrestling history. I mean, those were just great matches.
Definitely. Like, about the Road Warriors, too, is that they started in Georgia Championship Wrestling as, you know, kind of, you know, the bullying type of team, but they evolved over the 80s. And then they had Precious Paul Ellering with them. That was the brains behind them. And if you've never seen the Road Warriors DVD put out by the WWE, you got to watch it, because, you know, some of the stories Animal tells is just, I mean, you'd be shocked at some of the stuff, and some of the stuff I've heard, too, about the Road Warriors, it'd shock you. But anyway, anything else you can think of, Nick, that the fans should know about the Road Warriors?
Well, you know, they were a part of some of the biggest moments in wrestling history. I mean, one thing we touched on yesterday after we finished part one was their involvement in the first War Games against the Four Horsemen.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, they were a big part of that build, teaming with, Dusty and Nikita Koloff. And, I mean, those were historic matches. And they were a big part of it. Of course, in one match they injured J.J. Dillon, but
yeah.
You know, he was just a Northman manager, and people wanted to see him get beat up anyway, so.
Yeah, and J.J. even said that was kind of, you know, it was a three-person fault at that one. It was his because he didn't land just right, and it was that they tried to do their doomsday device maneuver, and it just, it wasn't hot. The cage was too low that Hawk couldn't get the full clothesline, and it just, it was an accident happening, basically.
Yep.
And, but anyway, about the War Games, the Road Warriors also not only teamed up with Dusty Rose and Nikita, I believe, I think they also teamed up with, I think, wasn't it like Steve Williams and some other people too, or?
I think they were in the 89 War Games as well. But if they were, I don't remember it because I haven't seen the 89 War Games in so long.
Yeah, I just, you know, they're just a phenomenal tag team. I mean, they changed the history of tag teams, and that's what they'll be remembered, and they should be remembered for. And also, to me personally, they should have been in the Hall of Fame a little bit sooner than they were, maybe like a year or two sooner. What do you think, Nick?
Yeah, I you could say that. I mean, there's a lot of people that got into the Hall of Fame that should have been in a lot quicker than they did, but, you know, that's a whole other discussion.
Yeah, definitely.
Another thing I think we should touch on, though, is their popularity was so high that they even got to go for singles titles. I mean,
oh, yeah.
World Warrior Hawk got to challenge Ric Flair a couple times for the NWA World title, including once at the Great American Bash.
Yeah,
I mean, that's how popular they were, was that they were so popular they could break away and go for a singles title, and the fans would be behind them 100% and want them to win that title.
Oh, yeah. If people don't remember what Nick was talking about, it was like Great American Bash 86. It was like a month or 2 months long tour around the United States, and Ric Flair had to defend that title, I think it was like 20 times in that 2 month period, and Road Warrior Hawk was one of them. I think Road Warrior Animal even challenged him for that title. And
yeah,
you know,
and then there was, during that tour was also the cage match with Ricky Morton, and I think a few other tag team guys got shots at the title during that tour as well.
And then also that's another with the Road Warriors is when they teamed up with Baby Doll, one of my favorite female managers of all time, and they teamed up and they went after the Midnight Express and Jim Cornette, and those matches, if you've never seen them, try to find them on YouTube because they're kind of funny in ways, with Jim Cornette being Jim Cornette, but they're still a classic because of Road Warriors and the Midnight Express. Have you seen any of those, Nick?
Yeah, and I liked Baby Doll. She was cool and all, but you know, putting her with the Road Warriors, just to me, it just kind of didn't make much sense. You know, the only manager that the Road Warriors ever needed was Paul Ellering. So putting them with any other person, it just, you know, it didn't sit right with me as a fan.
Oh, yeah. But now, here's the question I got to ask you, Nick. If the Road Warriors broke apart and they had to face each other, who do you think would have won, Road Warrior Animal or Road Warrior Hawk? And which one of them do you think Paul Ellering would have went with?
Probably Road Warrior Hawk. Road Warrior Hawk, to me, had more skill in the ring. He was quicker. And he was just as strong as Animal. He had more wrestling ability, in my opinion. He was definitely much quicker than Animal was. Could cut a better promo. I think definitely would have been Hawk.
Yeah. My same thing, I'd say Hawk, too. Because, like you said, quicker. And he also was able to come off the top rope, unlike Road Warrior Animal. Road Warrior Animal was more of the ground technician of the group. And out of all their promos, what would you say that their best one Hate to put you on the spot, Nick.
Man, that's tough. Of all time, I'd have to say probably be the one right after they cost Demolition the tag team titles of the Hart Foundation, where Hawk goes on about sobbing in your schnitzel and whimpering over your wieners.
Yeah.
That one was just hilarious to me.
Oh, yeah. For me, I'd have to say the best promo was after they won the AWA tag team titles. I remember it, but I'm not too sure exactly all what was said, but I know.
Oh, yeah,
deep
talking
down
about
inside,
fat people sitting on the couch eating potato chips and watching Happy Days.
Yep. Yep.
That was a great one.
Oh, yeah. And now we're down to 4 minutes left of this program. Anything else we should know about the Road Warriors that you think the fans, old fans, new fans of 80s wrestling should know about the Road Warriors?
I think we pretty much covered it. I mean, they're considered the greatest tag team of all time, one of the most successful teams of all time, definitely the most copied tag team of all time, as Jim Cornette has pointed out. More teams have patterned themselves after the Road Warriors than any other team in history.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, they're almost like the superstar Billy Graham of tag team wrestling.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Also, here's another little thing I wanted to bring up. It's another little feud, sorry about this, but about the Skyscrapers, their feud with the Skyscrapers, not the original ones, the one with Dan Spivey and Mean Mark Callis, which later became The Undertaker. I think those four mesh better than the original Skyscrapers. What do you think, Nick?
Well, yeah, you know, because the other, before Spivey, it was Sid. I mean, did he ever really mesh with anybody?
Which one, Dan and Spivey or Sid?
No, I'm talking about Sid in general. Did he ever mesh with any opponent ever? I mean, he was pretty bad.
Come think about it. But,
I mean, for that feud, the best part about that, as much as the in-ring action, was actually the promos, you know? Because you had Paul Ellering being Paul Ellering, you know, the genius that he is.
Yeah.
But Teddy Long was entertaining doing the promos.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, he was a pretty good manager and had a pretty good rap about him back in the day.
Oh, yeah. And here's another little short feud. I forget how many times he wrestled. Doom versus the Road Warriors. What did you think of that little feud?
Pretty good. Pretty good matches. I loved Ron Simmons and Butch Reed. Great tag team. Great individual wrestlers as well. Pretty good feud there. I mean, hard-hitting action, ass-kicking matches. Pretty good stuff. If anyone can find those matches, I'm sure there might be some on the WWE Network. Check them out. It's pretty good stuff to watch.
Yeah, actually, they're on, I think it's Starrcade 89, when they did that.
Oh, yeah, they did wrestle during the tournament.
Yeah, a little tournament that, to me, that's a different discussion. But anyway, we got about a minute left. Anything else we should know, Nick?
Should thank everyone that listens to our podcast, or your podcast, and tell them to tune in next month.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Like Nick said, tune in to next month. We'll be talking about, we're going to compare Starrcade to the Survivor Series, and it's going to be great. Hopefully Nick will be back, and we'll have more responses. Hopefully people will call in and tell us what they think of Starrcade and Survivor Series. So until next month, keep tuning in to these podcasts, the I Love 80s Wrestling podcast, and keep watching 80s Wrestling. I'm your host, Scott Middleton, and we'll talk to you next month.
This is Scott Middleton, host of I Love 80s Wrestling podcast. When I want to listen to a podcast, I listen to Debashi's Radio Takedown. He talks about sports and entertainment. So go do what I do. Listen to Debashi's Radio Takedown. You can find it here on Blog Talk Radio or iTunes.